Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 13. Rahugana converses with Jet Bharat. Text 20. Rahugana tvam api hi advanaha asya sanyasta dandaha kritabhuta maitraha asakchita atma Harisevaya Shitam Jnana Asim Adhaya Tara Atiparam Rahugana Tvam Api Yadvanosya Sanyasta Danda Katabhuta Maitraha Asach chitatma hari sevayashitam Jnana sima daya tarati param Rahugana tvam api yavanosya Sanyasta danda katabhuta maitraha Sajjitatma hari sevayasitam Jnana sima daya tarati param Rahugana tvam api yavanosya Sanyasta danda kritabhuta maitraha Asajjitatma hari sevayashitam Jnana sima daya tarati param Devotees can chant.
Rahugunatvam abhi adhano asya
Rahugunatvam abhi adhano
asya Sanyasta danda kritabhuta maitraha
Sanyasta danda kritabhuta maitraha
Asajjitatma hari sevayasitam
Asajjitatma hari sevayasitam
Jnani sam adaya tarati param
Gunatvam api adhanosya
We're trying to encourage them. Ladies, of material existence. Asya, this. Sanyasta Dandaha, having given up the king's rod for punishing criminals. Kritabhuta Maitraha, having become friendly to everyone. Asapchita Adma, whose mind is not attracted to the material pleasure of life. Harisevaya, by the means of loving service to the Supreme Lord. Shitam, sharpened. Jnana asin, the sword of knowledge. Adaya, taking in hand. Tara, cross over. Atiparam, to the ultimate end of spiritual existence. Translation: my dear King Rahugana, you are also a victim of the external energy. Being situated on the path of attraction to material pleasure. So that you may become an equal friend to all living entities, I now advise you to give up your kingly position and the rod by which you punish criminals. Give up attraction to the sense objects and take up the sword of knowledge sharpened by devotional service. Then you will be able to cut the hard knot of illusory energy and cross to the other side of the ocean of nescience. purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna compares the material world to a tree of illusion from which one must cut oneself free. Nirupam asyeha tato palabhyate nanto nachadir nachasam pratishta ashvatam enam suvarudamulam asanga shastrena tridhena chitva tatapadam tat parimargitavyam asmin gata nana nivartanti bhuyaha tam eva chadyam purusham prapadye yata pravritti prasvita purani. Quote, the real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this tree with the weapon of detachment. So doing, one must seek that place from which, having once gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything has begun, and in whom everything is abiding since time immemorial. Bhagavad Gita 15:3-4. Rahugana tvam api yavanosya sanyasta danda kritabhuta maitraha asaj chitatma hariseva-yashitam jnanasim adaya taratiparam. So Rahugana is the example of the materialistic persons, and Jat Bharat is taking the position as guru. Guru comes by the mercy of the Lord. Mande Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. It is by the grace of Krishna that one gets guru. In this case, King Rahugana was certainly not expecting to get instructed from his palanquin carrier. The last thing he expected was to be instructed, especially instructed about the absolute truth, the temporary nature of this material existence, and that he should give up being the king, and that he should take up the path of pure devotional service, go back to home, back to God. It was not expected. Sometimes persons are looking for the absolute truth, they're looking for a guru, and sometimes they're not. But it's considered to be the most fortunate thing in life to obtain the lotus feet of a pure devotee, spiritual master, because then the eyes are open. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miratanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. For one who is born in darkness of ignorance, spiritual master comes with the torchlight of knowledge and opens his eyes, gives him the opportunity to achieve the perfection of all existence, of all life. Without the spiritual master, no one ever has gotten out of the material world or out of material consciousness without the grace of the spiritual master. Sometimes Krishna may personally act as the spiritual master. He's always acting as the spiritual master, but he may sometimes personally act as the direct guru, and sometimes he sends his representatives. And then everything, the door is open. The opportunity to get out of this material world is open. Therefore, the real beginning of Bhagavad Gita instruction began when Arjuna requested Krishna to act as his spiritual master and instruct him. And he took, because he knew, he's from a very exalted family, he knew what it meant to become the Shisha. Shishasteham Sharimam Tam Pramana. Now I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Therefore, please instruct me. That's what it means to be a Shisha, to be a disciple. It means to be a soul surrendered unto the spiritual master. Therefore, one has to have complete confidence that this person can take me across the ocean of material existence. This person has gone to the other side of the material world. He has the knowledge required to enlighten me so that I can cross over this material world. Then the instructions become very powerful. Guru means heavy. And then the instruction can be, if the spiritual master feels that he can point out the flaws in the disciple or the candidate, then things become wonderful. If he feels he cannot point them out because the person may balk, may run away, may become angry, may become offended, whatever, so many reasons, then he can still instruct and he will use his expertise to instruct gradually. But the more the disciple has faith in the spiritual master, then the more the spiritual master can really get to the crux and solve the problem very quickly. It's like an expert surgeon. If you go to a surgeon and you say, I've got some problems, I feel this and that, all kinds of pains, and the surgeon says, Can I do an investigation of your body? Can I do a complete? No, just check this part. This part, check the arm. I say, but there may be some deeper problem than just the arm. It may be the heart. It may be the blood. It may be this. It may be. No, just the arm. So then he's restricting. Makes it difficult to get to the source of the problem. So, this is the one lesson we can learn from this, is that we should be the humble servant also that the spiritual master may chastise us. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took initiation, Ishwarapuri, he said that Ishwarapuri considered him a great fool and told him that he was not fit to study Vedanta and therefore he should just chant the Maha Mantra. Lord Chaitanya took it. He took it very seriously. He didn't say, I'm Nimai Pandit. I defeated Keshav Kashmiri when I was a mere boy. I can study Vedanta. No, he didn't object. He took it. Or at least, that's how he presents it, that his spiritual master gave him the Maha Mantra. So the instructions of the spiritual master are to be taken as one's life and soul, even if they don't appear to some to be appropriate. For example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on his first meeting with Srila Prabhupada A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami as Abhay Charan Day at 25 years old. The first meeting, Abhay Charan had offered his dandavats, as is customary amongst cultured families when they see a sadhu. And as he was getting up, Bhaktisiddhanta said, you should take up this message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach it all over the world. You're educated. It'll be good for you and good for everyone. So, how would he know that this person would be able to spread? How would he know that this person could accept the teachings of Lord Chaitanya? It didn't seem plausible, and even Abhay Charan questioned, but who will take Lord Chaitanya's message? Country that thank you. Oh, it's the court. We're a country that's subjugated by foreign rulers. So it didn't seem like a very plausible instruction, but spiritual master is able to give such instructions because they're not coming from the material mind or the material intelligence or logic, coming from Krishna. Krishna is giving him the instructions, the intelligence, how to perform his service. And he gives the disciple intelligence how to perform his service. So he's Bharat Maharaj, or Jad Bharat, is advising him to give up the path of material life completely, even to the extent of giving up, apparently, his position as a king. At least he's instructing him to give up the concept of I am a king and I am the ruler, and because Ruhugana definitely displayed that side of that I'm the king and I'm meant to instruct others. Even if one remains in the Varnashram system, still he should not think that he is a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Brahmacharya or Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. He should understand that his constitutional position, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudasa, servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. That's our real position. These other positions that we are taking as man, as woman, or American or Indian, these are all illusion. Because who's America? Is it the body is American? What is it? Yes, because the body was born. We know that from Bhagavad Gita that the soul is never born. Ajo nityam shashvatoyam purana anyate hanyamane sharire. So the soul never takes birth. So it's not that the soul takes birth in America, it's that the body comes out. Where the body comes out of the womb, that's considered to be one's country, home country. But what is the body? The body is made of earth and matter and water and fire and air and ether. So, but the cells, the atoms that make up the body, they're coming from these five elements, five gross elements, and then the three subtle elements. They're not necessarily atoms. The mental, the mind, intelligence, and false ego. But if you say the body is made of these things, and the cells of the body are changing at every instant, that means I have a different body at every instant. We don't have to wait 7 years till all the cells change, because even the tiniest change changes the whole body. It's a different body. So I have a different body, and the body is made of matter, and the matter is always changing. Coming, new matters coming in, old matters going out. So what is American? Is it the food that my mother ate and that was transformed into blood and comprised my body? But I have a different body now, so this is all, if we analyze it carefully, which we should do, everyone should do this, analyze things threadbare, so that we really firmly understand them, that I'm not this body in any way possible. Then we can give up. In other words, this knowledge will help us to become free from the material attraction. This knowledge is not just ordinary knowledge, it's transcendental knowledge, and therefore, being transcendental knowledge, it's no different than Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate. Vedaischa sarvaira hameva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva cha. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. In other words, when your knowledge reaches the ultimate, then you can know Krishna. So the knowledge that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita and the other scriptures, it's as important as Krishna himself. You shouldn't think that it's less important. It is. It's important because if I understand I'm not this body, then I can understand Krishna. If I think I'm this body, how will I be able to understand Krishna? I'm an illusion. The whole point of spiritual life means to get free from illusion, to get out of the entanglement. If that were not the case, then Krishna would have begun his discussion with Arjuna by saying, by showing his form playing the flute with Radharani. This is the ultimate. But that's not what he did. The Bhagavad Gita is considered by the Acharyas to be infant education. It's the beginning. It's not the end. We need to understand. It's like an infant. We want to train our infants, educate our infants, but we don't begin with some very high, difficult thing. We start with simple things. But those simple things are just as important as the other thing. It's part of the same education process. So, one should not discriminate against what appears to be the elementary or the beginning education of the Vedas, such as the Upanishads or whatever. It's part of the same instruction. The Vedas are seamless. There's no contradictions between them. Those who are less learned, those who are not well-versed, they may think that there are contradictions, for example, between the Puranas and the Jyotisha Shastras, or between this scripture and that scripture, contradictions. No, no contradiction. Everything is perfectly in accord. And therefore, it is said, Tarko Pratishta Shrutayo Vibhinna Savrishi Matam Vibhinnam Guhayam, what is it? Tarmas Vitatvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta. That in order to understand the Vedas and philosophy, we'll need the Mahajana. We'll have to follow in his footsteps, because otherwise we'll be confused by apparent contradictions, by apparent discrepancies between scriptures, by different arguments, by a charismatic presentation, what have you. But the Mahajan, he'll be able to give us the perfect instruction according to time and circumstance. It has to be according to time and circumstance. As long as we're in this material world, instructions have to be appropriate. Although there are eternal instructions, the Mahajan knows how to adjust them to apply to every circumstance. There may be a little adjustment required, and he has the power to do that because he understands dharmasya tattva, the truth of dharma is in his heart. Therefore, we want to hear from him. We don't want to try to study the Vedas by ourselves. We can study the Vedas by ourselves, but we won't be able to understand them. We've seen that so many scholars have tried to study the Vedas, but they didn't get it. They failed. Even some great personalities, some very learned and pious persons, they won't be able to get it. It can only be achieved, it is said, Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tatagaro tasya itai katita hyarta prakashante mahatma. When one has implicit faith, in both Guru and Krishna, then all the imports of the Vedic knowledge can be revealed. And if one has perfect knowledge, then he can surrender to Krishna. Or the other way is, if he surrenders to Krishna, then he gets perfect knowledge. One who knows Krishna knows everything. Because Krishna is the ultimate knowledge and he is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And one who surrenders to Krishna, he's come to the correct conclusion. There's nothing further to be known. That is the knowledge. But generally speaking, there is this system, this process of bhakti yoga, which includes all the aspects. It includes some acts of just surrender. For example, we're taught when we first come to Krishna consciousness to pay our obeisances to the deity. So a person who's acting only on the platform of knowledge, he would say, well, I don't know why, I don't know what the deity is, I don't know what bowing down is going to do. He could come up with so many reasons not to do it. And sometimes those who are very analytical, they'll do that. Students, things like that, they want to be convinced before they take up any practice. That's all right. We have enough knowledge and philosophy to convince them, certainly. If they're reasonable, they will be convinced. And eventually they will take up those practices. But it moves a lot faster if one has enough faith to follow along what the other devotees are doing. Then he very swiftly moves. The others are paying obeisances. They seem to be very happy, to be very learned, to be wonderful persons. Let me follow what they're doing. By doing that, it makes the process very fast. Because he's showing his faith, and by bowing down before the Lord, his faith increases. Why? Because Krishna is real. Krishna is a real person, and he really sees that this person is bowing down before me, and he's showing some devotion. Therefore, let me shower my blessings, because he's full of blessings. He's full of mercy. He wants to save all the conditioned souls. Therefore, he loves to shower his blessings on anyone who makes any effort. So, in our process, we have everything. We have the acts of surrender, and we have philosophy, we have knowledge. Sometimes Prabhupada would say that you just chant Hare Krishna, that's sufficient. And if you want to understand from a philosophical point of view, we have so many books to convince you. Either way, it's not that everybody is necessarily philosophical minded. Although, at least, those who take initiation, they should try to be, even if they're not necessarily philosophically inclined, they should try to become that way. And so they'll read Prabhupada's books. That will help them tremendously. Because the more we fill up our minds and our intelligence with this transcendental knowledge, then whatever doubts we have, these doubts are like demons. They're destroying our spiritual life. They have to be removed. And so Arjuna said, there's no one who can destroy these doubts that I have except you. So only Krishna or Krishna's authorized representative can destroy these doubts. and it will be confirmed by Shastra. He will not make up something, add his own opinion that's different from the Shastra. It will always be completely Shastric. That is the special contribution of the Vaishnav Guru. He doesn't speculate. No speculation. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, we can. Yes.
When you talk, talking about two things, you're talking about conviction,
talking about faith. They said that people, if they can be convinced, they have got sufficient books, knowledge based by which we can convince the person and get him to follow. And that the process becomes very fast if the person already has faith and he follows, and side by side he gets the conviction. So the my question is, like, which starts first? How does a person comes to the level of faith without conviction? How to determine that the person has got faith or he has not?
Yes. He has, he's fortunate that he has somehow or other, by agyata sukriti or pious activities in the past, somehow or other, or even just the mercy of the Vaishnav, it may not even be his own credit. It may be the causeless mercy, just like we say that word, causeless mercy, of the Vaishnava, of the spiritual master, that gives him faith. Guru Kripa, Krishna Kripa. That's possible too.
In the translation, Jalabharat is telling Rahugana to give up the rod by which he punishes criminals. Then we also know that if a king is weak, thieves and rogues flourish. So what is he advocating? By telling the king not to punish criminals.
Yes. Well, from this, the question was, we touched on it, that he's telling him to give up the rod of punishment of being a king. Well, is either if he's advising him to get out of the grihastha or grihamedi ashram, or no, not an ashram, but get out of materialistic household life, as Prahlad told his father, go to vanam gato yad tarimashayeta, go to Vrindavan. In other words, don't try to be a king anymore. He didn't say, my dear father, why don't you rule the world in this way and do it piously? He said, no, give it up, go to Vrindavan. So that's one way of giving it up. Or the other way is, give up the false conception of thinking that you're the king and that you hold the rod, because Naradeva, the duty of a king, is to represent Krishna. So one can remain in his position, but not think that he's the doer. Not thinking that, even if he is a king, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas, but he said that I'm not a sannyasi, I'm the servant of the servant. So give up the false conception, the misconception of thinking that you're this body. We could take that as the essence. Either way, it could be appropriate.
I have a question about Srila Prabhupada. Just as if Maharaj Parikit was under the spell of Yoga Maya when he came and walked out with the Brahma.
Because Krishna appeared next to Bhima, behind Bhima. And he saw him and he just bam, the Bhima couldn't see Krishna. Not waiting, you know, that he happily surrendered to Bhima. Bhima never really knew what happened.
Everything like Gandhi's movement and all of that, shouldn't we see that as an opportunity to instruct the whole world that this was Yoga Maya, just like it was with Haridas Thakur, just like it was with Maharaj Prakrit, the same thing with Srila Prabhupada. Should we consider like that?
Why not? Yes, there are sufficient indications to help us to come to that conclusion.
Even if someone take the devotee back to God, that make sure he gets a better birth in the next life, so he can do better service. We're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
In other words, his instructions.
And the way we make Krishna appear is not by fighting devotees.
Someone
they were
Kshatriyas,
so fighting is their sport, you know.
And
right?
His example
they enjoy
is sufficient.
Kshatriya likes nothing better than a good fight. That's the only thing a Kshatriya can ask for. A Brahmin can beg for money. Sannyasi can beg for money, but a Kshatriya can only say, give me fight, or gamble, but that's also fighting. So we attract Krishna.
Using him as an example to show that this political system.
If Krishna sees it.
I mean, isn't it the same thing as Haridas Thakur, being born in the family of Muslims, or Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur for that matter?
Yes. Yes. And so for our intimate understanding between us, amongst ourselves, naturally we'll have a conviction like that. But since we may not have to necessarily express that or impose that.
So slow to put the hands up,
people.
The Bengalis involve everybody immediately. Hands are up. Try again.
And it's not required because if we teach, if we present what Prabhupada has given us, given the instruction he's given, that's our main
See, that helps, right?
To
you can be much louder. We can
well, I'm agreeing
opens
with
up
you.
The lungs and makes the diaphragm work. But also, Chaitanya Bhagavan says that when the devotees dance, it purifies the earth in Tirthan. And when they raise their hands, it purifies the heavenly planet. So you didn't know you were so powerful. But it's, you know, it like we used to sing in church, open up your heart. Open up your heart.
Right?
Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said in Chicago we had the installation of new buses for Radha Damodar. And the bus ceiling was about this high. So if they were all cracked, you know, some had hairs stuck in the cracks. And so everybody got into because you couldn't jump up and down, you certainly couldn't put your hands up. So we were in the Chicago temple at the time, it had a two-story ceiling. It was a balcony, and but the devotees were all dancing. So Prabhupada sat through the whole thing, and it was very slow. And then when he got up, he said, can I leave now? And he said, okay, you can go. So he stood up and he said, we see always the Panchatattva. They're always
like this.
And so we should dance like this. And he said, not like this. So it's a reason for that, you know. They always hands up and it attracts people like anything. And, you know, makes us think of Krishna and fills up your lungs. So try again.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Pretty good. The thing didn't go up at all. You can try a little later. Maybe Rajendra or somebody can inspire you more. So anyway, this is a very, very auspicious area. Samudra Sain and Samudra Gar, which you'll hear about. Gadadhar, and all the, you know, so many things, and so we'll, I'll let someone else speak. Who's next? Number two. Okay, one more time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki Om Gyanatim Ananda Shag Anjana Svakya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Vatale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarane Panchakopatribhyascha, Vipasindubhyascha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srivastava Gaurabhavarinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm so happy to be in the company of so many wonderful devotees, and it's really nice not have to stop after each sentence to be translated into Russian. I think everybody here understands what I'm saying. They gave me a slip of paper. It says inspiration and prayers or Samudra Gara. If you'll allow me, I'd like to share a little inspiration, little thought on that subject matter, maybe prayers. So, for us conditioned souls, covered by the modes of material nature and the false ego thinking we can enjoy in this world, we're really just like walking dead bodies. There is no enjoyment. It's just a trick of Maya. Kick me this way, slap me that way, kick me again and again and again. Where's the inspiration? Of course, they have the association of other fools trying to enjoy, and so they support each other in this illusory attempt to pretend to be Krishna and to be the enjoyer and the controller. But when we have the association of the devotees, when we have the mercy of the spiritual master, what to speak of being in Sri Navadvip Dham? What to speak of traveling through the dust, each island, nine islands of Navadvip Dham? Then we become awake, we become alive and inspired in Krishna consciousness. Go! Srila Prabhupada one time said that association is approximately 90% of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. If we are aware of the inconceivable good fortune we have to be rubbing elbows with Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, surrounded front, back, side, practically up and down by Vaishnavas, then we will certainly become very enlivened to take to this process full-heartedly. What are we doing here? Well, we're in Kola Dweep right now, so it's worth mentioning the limb of devotional service of Kola Dweep is Padasevana. When you think of Padasevana, automatically you think of the lotus feet of the Lord, meditating on them. If you're fortunate enough, touching the lotus feet of the Lord. The pujaris, they get this opportunity every day. But simply bowing down at the feet, offering prayers of feet. This is what we think of when we think of Padasevana. Srila Prabhupada has explained in his purport to Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Padasevanam verse by Prahlad Maharaj that going on parikrama in the holy dham, this is also Padasevana. We know that every step you are getting more benefit than performing hundreds, thousands of Ashvamedha yajnas. Indra, he gets worried if he sees somebody do just 100 Ashvamedha sacrifices, because then you can become king of the heavenly planets. The activities that Srila Prabhupada and his representatives have given us that we're doing on this parikrama, they are not of this world. Whether we realize it or not, we are being allowed to partake in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, the spreading of Krishna consciousness. By performing this parikrama, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the whole world can become Krishna conscious. Can you imagine? At one time when I was a young devotee, everyone firmly believed in that hope, that desire, that instruction or prediction. After some years, then you begin to wonder, wow, it's not as easy as I thought. 18 days spreading Krishna consciousness and conquering the world. But now this temple is coming up. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, this service has been given to us. We're being a parikrama. And by this devotional service, the mercy of Panchatattva will rain down and they will help make the whole world Krishna conscious. Now in Kola Dweep, it is an island famous for the fact that Lord Chaitanya forgave the offenses of hundreds and millions of people. He also specifically forgave Devananda Pandit for a grave offense he committed against Srivas Thakur. It is inevitable that while we perform parikrama, we will step on each other's toes. If you're in the mood of, I got to get to the front, I got to see the deities, I want to be by the Swami, then you will inevitably, probably push and shove your way through a number of devotees. Does this ever happen to anybody?
Yes.
It's not supposed to happen. It does not have to happen. In fact, I will share with you, and I do this just to let you think about something. I've been with the Prabhus who took birth in Russia for the last 3 days. One time I got pushed. Once in 3 days. Can you imagine? They are just peaceful and satisfied with where they are, knowing that they will hear the katha, they can hear the kirtan, they can chant to their heart's content. This is an example that we can aspire for. In this holy dham, this island of Kola Dweep, it is a very good opportunity to pray to the Lord, pray to the dust of this dham that we can be forgiven by, to be greater, more powerful, to extinguish that enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness than offending the devotees of Lord Krishna. It's called the mad elephant offense, Vaishnava Aparad. It's the worst thing we could possibly do. We should be mindful that these are not just bodies. These are not just Joe Smoes. I don't know. What does it matter if I bump into them, this or that? These are dear servants, aspiring servants at least, of Srila Prabhupada and his followers and of the transcendental Panchatattva, our worshipful lords. So for inspiration, we pray to the Vaishnavas. We follow their wonderful examples. We hope that our dirty heart can be cleansed by this attempt to perform devotional service and chant the holy names of the Lord in a service attitude, enthusiastically. Hare
Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna!
Very quickly one receives the mercy of the names of the dham and of the devotees. Very quickly. In fact, we aren't even aware how much mercy we're getting.
but we are getting it. It is being accumulated. At some point, when you round the corner and become fixed in your devotion, being careful not to offend the devotees, it opens up and devotional service becomes what I want to do. As I heard, those who camped out, sometimes you wake up tired in the morning, cold and a little sluggish, am I right? Janani Vas Prabhu yesterday shared with me one time when he heard Vishnu John Swami late at night. The last kirtan had taken place, the last arti, and you know what he said? He said, I can't wait till Mangal Arti comes. This is the enthusiasm we're praying for, and we get it in the association of the fired up senior advanced devotees. And senior just doesn't mean you have to have gray hair, have a fat belly like me, or been around for a long time. The Prabhu you don't know sitting right next to you might be that humble, sincere devotee who is surrendering completely to the Lord. Please take advantage of this opportunity. Pray for a service attitude here in this holy dham. Pray to Koladweep and Gauranga and the spiritual master. Please forgive me of the nonsense I've done, the offenses I've committed to you, the holy names, and to your devotees. If we are sincere in this regard, the Lord reciprocates. They want to give us their mercy more than we can even desire it. It's ours for the taking. One step on this pericum, the Lord is taking 10 to run towards us and embrace us and include us in His holy Sankirtan movement. Last Nagar Noon, that is the place of learning. I don't need to say much in that regard, but I will share with you. Do you know what Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed for when he got there? He didn't pray for knowledge. We have some who are great scholars in the scripture. You see people who are intelligent outside in the world who know so many things, have so much knowledge of so many things in this world. Did Bhakti Vinod Thakur pray for that useless kind of knowledge, the brain of donkeys of mundane knowledge? No, of course not. Did he pray for the of scripture? No, you know what he prayed for? For the opportunity to purely chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
As we chant, let us pray in this humble mood, in this desire of wanting service, wanting to be able to purely serve the name that devotees in the Lord. The desire will be fulfilled if we have it. No worries. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!
Hare Krishna is like that, not like this. This is not Shiva. So, okay, all the Maharajas that spoke something. Do you know where we are sitting? Not only Kholadip, this is the Khadir Ban. This is the Khadir Ban. And when Samudra Sen, he was very ferociously, he was fighting with Bhima. And Bhima, then Bhima Maharaj told he could not search, but he requested Lord Krishna, "My dear Lord, I am the king of Navadvip, and I know you will appear here in this Navadvip pastime. He will do a lot of pastime. So, my dear Lord, I want to see that form also. That form also. First he saw that not only Krishna only, he saw that Gopal, Lord Krishna, he used to take care of all the calves and cow, all these things. This is the forest. And small kunja, so that king, Samudra Sen, he saw Krishna is enjoying with Radharani here. They are doing special pastime here. So this Khadir Ban, Krishna, then same King Samudra Sen, he request. He said, "My dear Lord, I know you are Supreme Lord. You are most merciful. This is your power. But I am a king of Navadvip. I want to see something. That you are on, that Navadvip for." Very beautiful curly hair. Then he showed that King Samudra Sen, he had darshan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu also. Gauranga Mahaprabhu also. Then, yes, so now there will be some small drama. I know the Prasad is already here, but we'll sit here for Prasadam to organize. All the devotees are there trying to do, make juice and all these things. It will take a little time. Let's hear our voice properly. Drama is ready. Okay.
Delhi devotees are here. International casting. Not only Delhi devotees, an international cast. Just for the pleasure of all the devotees.